So we're on the bottom of Daf Beis Amud Beis, about to start Daf Gimel Amud Aleph, and we're learning the sugya of Heichal. What I mean by Heichal is that the Heichal was, and specifically the Pesach HaHeichal, was 20 amas high. And the Chachomim made an equation, an analogy, between a Mavui and the Pesach HaHeichal. And the Pesach HaMavui, which can be fixed up, so to speak, by a Korah, has to be up to, but not beyond, 20 amas high. Because we're going to compare the Pesach of a Mavui to the Pesach in the Torah. The Pesach that the Torah recognizes is the Pesach of the Heichal. So, for example, we have a brisa that we quoted earlier here on Daf Beis Amud Beis, that Mavui Shu Gavoa Miestrim Ami Yimayit. If the Mavui has a Pesach which is higher than 20 Am, we have to lower that Pesach to below Esrim Amo. And Rabbi Yehuda Machsher, Rabbi Yehuda says it's not a problem because Rabbi Yehuda derives Pesach not from Pesach HaHeichal, but rather from Pesach HaUlam. Okay then? That's what we have in the Braisa. Now, you have the wrong Masechta. Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
Okay.
It happened.
Yeah. Fine. So that's what we have in the Braisa. And now we have a question in the Gemara. Now, in order to appreciate the Gemara's question, we have to mention the following. There is a possibility of setting up a Korah in a very unique case, which might be higher than Esrim Amma. And that's going to be the sugi here on Daf Gimel called Amaltera. But before we get to Amaltera, we still have to pay up one chov. We have one debt that we have to pay. And that's what I call the Tzuras HaPesach debt. What do I mean? If our definition of a Pesach for Mavui is identical to the definition of Pesach for Eichal, then it would seem that Tzuras HaPesach is out of the question. It should be excluded. Our Mishnah says that if you have... So again, we've been discussing the height of the Pesach. We said it was up to 20 amos and not beyond, according to the Chachamim. But now let's talk for a moment about the width of the Pesach. And the Mishnah establishes that the width of the Pesach maximum is what, Gershon? 10 amos. Now that might be fine, and we could assume that the Pesach HaHeichal was 10 amos wide. That's fine, except for one problem. The Mishnah offers two different options in a case where the Pesach is wider than 10 amos. One is lemayit, which means that you have to put up curtains or whatever it might be to make sure that the Pesach is less than 10 amos wide. And the other is what's called a Tzuras HaPesach. Instead of just a korah going up on top in a horizontal way, you will need two lechis, one lechi on the right, one lechi on the left, that are connected on top with a korah. That's called the Tzuras HaPesach. And that would be enough to serve as a tikkun mavui, even in the case where the width is more than Eser Amah. And the Gemara now has a serious problem, because if our definition of Pesach in Mavui is derived from Pesach HaHeichal, then guess what? The Pesach HaHeichal was only 10 amos wide, and yet it had a Tzuras HaPesach. So let's look at the Gemara Elamei Ata. We're now on Daf Beis Amud Beis, and we're counting up from the bottom of the Amud 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 lines up. The first word of the line is Bi'alma. Ela me'ata. Now that you've interpreted the Chachamim in our Mishnah, that our definition of a Pesach Mavui is a spin-off, it's a mirror image of Pesach HaHechal, if that be the case, lo teheni le tzuris ha-Pesach, the Mishnah says that if you have a Mavui that has a Pesach that's wider than Eser Amos, then all you have to do is you have to set up a tzuris ha-Pesach. And that's not going to sit well now with the Gemara. Why do a Heichal, in the case of Heichal, there in fact was a Tzuras HaPesach, Havilo. Havilo means it had a Tzuras HaPesach. Vafilu Hachi, and nevertheless, Eser Amos Hu Deravich. Ravich means width. It had 10 Amos in width, but no more than 10 Amos in width. So Alama Tanan, how do we justify our Mishnah here at the beginning of Erevin that says in Yeshlo, if the Pesach Amovi has a Tzuras HaPesach, is Afal Pisha Rav of Me'eser Amos, even though it's wider than 10 Amos, Eino Tzorach Lamayit. What do you mean Eino Tzorach Lamayit? If your paradigmic case is Heichal, the Pesach HaHechal, well, in fact, the Heichal had a Tzuras HaPesach, meaning it had these two vertical poles plus the horizontal pole on top, and yet it was only a rochav of Eser Amos. So if we're using Pesach HaHechal as our paradigm to establish what kind of Pesach and Mavui would allow for a tikkun Mavui, then you are bound and you're boxed in by the Heichal itself. Which means that the rochav of the Heichal was only 10 amos, and yet it had a Tzuras HaPesach. Now I have a long, long footnote here, which we may want to skip at the end of the day, but I'll just give you a little bit of the gist of it. He says, Rochav HaHechal Atzmo Hoya Esrim Amo. As a matter of fact, the width of the Heichal was 20 Amo, but Mishnei, or the Pesach Heichal, but Mishnei Tzidei HaPesach Hoya Kosel Chamesh Amo. So if you subtract 5 on the right, which was the Kosel on the right side, and 5 on the left, which is the Kosel on the left side, which is 10 Amos, you're left with a Pesach of Eser Amos, only Eser Amos. Now, if Tzuras HaPesach is meaningful, is effective to make the Pesach into a Pesach, even if it's wider than Eser Amos, then the Pesach of the Heichal should have been, I'll read it to you in the Hebrew, he says, Hayoroi Lasos es Pesach HaHechal Barochav Esrim. And the reason for that is, again, we have to understand this. This is the subject of Tosfos on the bottom of Daf Beis Amud Beis, Divrei Masel Ela, is that the Pesach of the Heichal should be equal to the Pesach of the Ulam. Again, we don't know why that's so, but let's just take it as axiomatic at this point. So again, I'll read to you that last line here. Hayoroi Lasso says, Pesach HaHechal Berochav Esrim Kidei Lahashvos Es Pesach HaHechal LePesach HaUlam. Now the reason for that is because we're now free of the shackles of the Eser Amos requirement, because we have a Tzuras HaPesach. Our Mishnah says that a Tzuras HaPesach is enough to generate a status of a Pesach even when it's wider than Eser Amos. So you'll ask me, well, what exactly was the width of the Pesach of the Heichal? And the answer is, it was 10 Amos when you subtract the Kosel on the right and the left of 5 Amos each. What should have happened is that Tosfos claims that they should have equated the Pesach HaHecho with the Pesach HaUlam, meaning that just like the Pesach HaUlam is 20 amos wide because it has a Tzuris HaPesach, then the Pesach HaHecho, which also has a Tzuris HaPesach, should have been 20 amos wide. And the assumption of Tosis is that that on the two sides of the Pesach HaHechal, they put up a kosel of 5 amos each in order to make sure that this Pesach should only be 10 amos wide. Well, that would make sense if there was no Tzuras HaPesach. If there is Tzuras HaPesach, then there should have been an equation between the Pesach of the HaHechal and the Pesach of the Ulam. And this is the problem that Tosfos wants to, how shall I say, integrate into the Gemara's cash over here. That if we're learning the laws of Pesach from the Pesach HaHechal, then Tzuras HaPesach should be omitted. Again, our Mishnah says that Tzuras HaPesach is very relevant in a case where the Pesach HaMovi is wider than Eser Amos, and that problem will be solved or resolved by Tzuras HaPesach. Well, that's not true. If Tzuras HaPesach would resolve the problem of Eser Amos, meaning more than Eser Amos Berochav, then in the case of the Pesach HaHechal, the Pesach HaHechal should have been 20 amos wide. And the reason for that is because it has a Tzuras HaPesach, and therefore you can expand it beyond Eser Amos, and they should have done so in order to be Mashver. Now again, Rabbo said, let's just mention one little footnote here. Which Kedusha is greater? Who remembers 2 days ago we discussed this? Today is what, Wednesday? So it was either on Sunday or Monday, I don't remember when did we start. But remember we said that which Kedusha is greater, the Hechal or the Ulam? The Hechal. So then we don't want the Hechal, if all things are equal, to be inferior to the Ulam, because it has a greater Kedusha. So if the Ulam is so fantastic, it's so grandiose, that it could have a Pesach that's wider than Eser Amos, then we should apply the same yardstick to the Pesach HaHechal. Ella, what are you going to tell me? That the Ulam has the Tzuras HaPesach and the Hechal doesn't have a Tzuras HaPesach? Well, that's not true. The Hechal also has a Tzuras HaPesach. If the Hechal has a Tzuras HaPesach, then we should not be limited by the Rochav of what? Of Eser Amos. And on the contrary, we have a rule, Kidei Lahashvoso LePesach HaUlam, it should have been 20 Amos wide. Why are we so busy, why are we so meticulous about setting up the Pesach of the Hechal in such a way that it should only be Eser Amos wide, since it has a Tzuras HaPesach? And when you have a structure of a Pesach with a Tzuras HaPesach, you don't need to be bound by the 10 Amos rule, the width of 10 Amos rule. Then we should have broadened the Tzuras HaPesach, the Pesach of the Hechal, to equalize it with the Pesach of what? Of the Ulam, and it should have been more than 10 Amos wide. It should have been 20 Amos wide. We don't want to insult the Hechal, do we? So therefore, the Gemara concludes that it must be that Tzuras HaPesach is not a mitigating factor in the case of the width of the Pesach. We always have to insist that the width of the Pesach be what? Be limited by Eser Amos. Again, if you hold like Rabbi Yehuda has a substitute paradigm. What's his paradigm? The Ulam, right? Not the Hechal, but the Ulam. Okay, so then according to Rabbi Yehuda Nochinami, there's no need to be Mamayit, although the Mishnah omitted it, but the Braisa adds it, that Rabbi Yehuda would disagree not only in terms of the Gova, because he's not limited by the Gova, the Hechal, the Pesach Hechal, he goes to the Pesach Ulam, which is 40 Amos higher, right? And in width also, Rabbi Yehuda would not be limited by the 10 Amos rule that is generated by Hechal. Of course, he's got the Ulam. But we're going now according to the Chachamim, who determine and establish the dimensions of a Pesach by Hechal. And if that be the case, Tzuras HaPesach should not be helpful in the case of a Rochav that's more than 10 Amos, because it wasn't helpful in the case of the Hechal. If it would have been, if Tzuras HaPesach would have been meaningful in the case of the Hechal, then by golly, the width would have been 20 Amma, not 10 Amma. That's Tosus here, the Maskel Ella. Again, I'm not telling you on both sides that we have it all down pat. There are a lot of room here for going deeper and deeper, but that's what we have now. Okay. Now we have another line in the Gemara here, which reads, Midi hu taima ella l'rav. Do you see such a line? That's a bit of an ambiguous line. And I think what's going on here is the following. And this is the way that we can perhaps understand midi hu taima ela l'rav. What the Gemara is saying is the following. Rav is the one who's responsible for claiming that the Chachamim derive Pesach in Mavui from Pesach in Heichal. So that if you have a problem with our Mishnah of Tzuras HaPesach, meaning how does Tzuras HaPesach help in the case of Rochav Me'aser Amos, given the fact that we have an equation to the Heichal. So our question was, how does Tzuras HaPesach help in Mavui, in a case where the Pesach HaMavui is more than Eser Amos, given the fact that we derive Pesach HaMavui from what? From Pesach HaHechal, and in Pesach HaHechal, the Tzuras HaPesach didn't help me at all in terms of the Rochav beyond Eser Amos. We were limited in the case of Heichal to the Rochav of Eser Amos, as we discussed before, the coastal here and the coastal there. That question, says the Gemara, should be addressed to Rav. Why? Because Rav is the one who earlier on this Amud identified our Chachamim and our Mishnah, identified Pesach HaMavui with Pesach HaHechal. And now you have a question about Tzuras HaPesach. Why is Tzuras HaPesach a mitigating factor? How does it help you in the case of Rochav Eser Amos if it didn't help you in the Heichal? So Rav might answer that in Ochinami, let's drop the whole this whole part of the mission about Tzuras HaPesach, because if we're bound by Heichal, then Tzuras HaPesach is not going to help us. It didn't help us in Heichal, which has a Tzuras HaPesach. Therefore, ipso facto, it won't help us in what? In a Mavui. So that's going to be Rav's conclusion. So Yakasha now is a Kasha on Rav. So the Gemara says, if your whole Kasha is on Rav, then I'm going to tell you a little bit of a story. There was a teaching session in which Rabbi Yehuda was teaching Chia bar Rav. And who was present at the time? Rav. And when Rabbi Yehuda was teaching this Mishnah to the son of Rav, Chia, the son of Rav, by the way, Rav's uncle's name was Chia, so it makes sense that his son was Chia. Apparently, Chia was in the lineage of the family. Anyway, so the teaching of Rabbi Yehuda included the following, that if you have a Mavui, which is more than 10 amos wide, then you don't have to diminish that width. All you have to do is set up a Tzuras HaPesach. That's what Rabbi Yehuda was teaching Chia bar Rav in the presence of Rav, because Rabbi Yehuda knew the Mishnah. And he was basically teaching the Mishnah to Chia bar Rav. The Omar lay, and Rav interjected. He banged on the table. And he said, Asne, you have the wrong text in the Mishnah. Your Mishnah says, Eino Tzorech Lamayit. Well, my Mishnah says, Tzorech Lamayit. Which means that according to Rav's Girsa, in our Mishnah, despite the fact that your Mavui has a Tzuras HaPesach, you're still limited to a width of up to but not beyond Eser Amos. That's Rav Shita. So if you can ask a kash on Rav, well, Tzuras HaPesach didn't help in the Heichal, and we still were limited to Eser Amos, so why should it help in the case of the Mavui? The answer is it doesn't help in the case of a Mavui. And Rav Shita is, based on his Girs and our Mishnah, that you always have to be Mamayit the width of the Mavui to be less than Eser Amos wide, even if you have a Tzuras HaPesach. So Rav, in his Girs of the Mishnah, never accepted this, what I call the mitigating circumstance called Tzuras HaPesach. Okay, so now we have a whole new Mishnah, according to Rav. And our Mishnah, the way Rav has it, I should say Rav's Mishnah, would say that Tzuas HaPesach is not going to help you as far as the width is concerned. Now, again, we can talk later on about other possible benefits from the Tzuas HaPesach, but as far as the width, meaning if it's wider than Eser Amos, that's not going to help. Tzuas HaPesach is not going to cut the mustard. That's Rav's Girsa in the Mishnah. You must be Mamait the Tzuas HaPesach. I'm sorry, you must be Mamait the Pesach of the Mavui to less than 10 Amos. But now the Gemara has another Kasha on Rav. Elameata, now that you've told me, Rav, that the Chachamim derive the law of Pesach HaMavui from its paradigmic case of Pesach HaHechal, if that be the case, now we're going to study the Sugya of Amaltera. We have to turn now to Daf Gimel and Aleph. And the Gemara says, Lo Tahani Le Amaltera. Now, what is a Amaltera? The Gemara is going to have a whole discussion in great detail about what an Amaltera is. In fact, in my particular edition of the Gemara, they have three different pictures, colored pictures, mind you. That's why they charge you an extra 10 shekel. No, I'm just joking. But anyway, so they have three different colored pictures of what this Amaltera looks like. Now, one of these pictures is very pretty because it has like a psychedelic Amaltera. I mean, the korah on top of this mavui like has paisley colors. I mean, they really did a good job here. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, but I just don't want to lose my place here. Yeah. This is one picture of an Amaltera. You see, it's like a granite. If you've ever gone to a granite store, you know, like you can go here in Talpiot, you'll see different kinds of granites. You know, some of the granite, again, we're not importing from Italy right now, but if we would be importing from Italy, some of the Italian granites are really, really impressive, and they have combinations of different I call it psychedelic colors. I'm just dating myself, but anyway. Now, what's the big deal about this Amaltera? Again, we're going to have a few shittas exactly what it looks like, but the main point is it catches the eye. It catches the eye. It's very high up, but there's something impressive about it, and it catches the eye. Now, why is that critical? The whole concept of a korah to be metakin amavui is because it catches the eye. And this we discussed on Sunday, if you remember, that Chazal wanted to make sure that we could set aside the Mavui as a Mavui. You know, we have to identify as a Mavui, and it has to have its own personality as a Mavui. And they required what's called a Heker, Heker Hey Yud Chaf Resh, meaning something that indicates that this is a separate area. You know, otherwise it looks like the Rosh Hashanah goes straight into the Mavui. We want to allow you to carry something in the Mavui. So we want to make sure that people realize and recognize it's a mavui. So we require korah, let's say in this case. But what happens if the korah is above 20 amma? In such a case, it's beyond eyesight, so to speak, eye view. Obviously, if you strain your neck, you'll see it even above esrim amma. But normally, you don't look all the way up on top. You know, you're walking down the mavui, you're in a big rush, and you're not looking on top, you're looking forward. That's the way you should be looking, because otherwise you'll trip and fall. But there is a kind of a korah, which is called an amaltera, that is so impressive, and it catches the eye, that lechora, at first glance I would tell you, pardon the pun, at first glance, that it should substitute for the esrim amma requirement. Meaning, even if the amaltera, this korah which is so impressive, is so flashy, the neon lights, would catch your eye even above Esrim Amma, then this limitation of Esrim Amma, not above, should be dropped. We should no longer be limited to Esrim Amma. The only reason we were limited to Esrim Amma, according to this line of thought, is because that's what you're going to see, but above Esrim Amma you don't generally look, so you won't catch the hecker here of the Korah. But in a case where it's got an Amaltera, then that should catch the eye, and it should be okay to be mitakin a mavui with a korah called an Amaltera, which is above Esrim Amma, because it accomplishes the same goal as less than Esrim Amma. So the Gemara says that we're going to prove later on that a maltera would be a mitigating circumstance with regard to the height rule, and that even if you went, you rose above the height of Esther of Amma, if you have an Amaltara, that's considered a valid Korah to be Mitakin the Mavui. And according to the logic that we've presented until now, that we're bound by the Heichal, or the more precisely, the Pesach HaHeichal, is Lo Tahani Le Amaltara. Amaltara should not be effective. Just like we said in the logic before that Tzuras HaPesach was not effective as far as the width is concerned, meaning that we had to be very careful to make sure that the width of the Pesach HaHechal was Eser Amos, not more, and that even though, despite the fact that you have a Tzuras HaPesach, so we see that Tzuras HaPesach is not enough to save or salvage the Pesach if it's wider than 10 Amos, so too, I'm going to prove to you from the Pesach HaHechal that Amaltara is not meaningful above Esrim Amos, because in fact, the Pesach HaHechal had an Amaltara, and yet the Gova, the height of the Pesach HaHechal, was 20 Amos. You follow what I'm saying? They could have raised the height of the Pesach HaHechal all the way to the Ulam height, which was 40 Am, if you remember. Mm-hmm. And that's again the story that we said in Tosfos Kedei LaShposam. And they didn't have to worry about the Esrim Amah rule. Why? Because the Hechal, in fact, had an Amaltara. The Hechal Amaltara Havyaleh. The Heichal had an Amaltara, again, whatever that Amaltara is, but it's something very flashy. Vafilu Hachi, and nevertheless, what was the height of the Pesach HaHechal? It was Esrim Amahu de Gavoa, not 1 inch beyond Esrim Amah. So why is it that in the case of the Korah of a Mavui, we say that Amaltara is meaningful even above Esrim Amah, when your paradigmic case of a Pesach for Mavu is going to be Heichal? Well, in Heichal, Amaltara didn't help you, and you still needed to limit the height of the Pesach HaHechal to what? To 20 Amah, not beyond 20 Amah. Why? You have an Amaltara. If you're equating these two dinim of Pesach Mavu derived from Pesach HaHechal, then Amaltara should not be effective in Pesach HaMavui, just like it's not effective in the Pesach HaHechal. So in the Pesach HaHechal, the Amaltara is a very beautiful, you know, architectural flashy success, and maybe it's an artistic success that should be placed under the Allah of Echveis, Zekeli V'Anvei. We want to beautify, you know, the mitzvahs, we want to beautify the HaHechal, but nevertheless we were still limited by the 20 Amah Gova rule. Apparently Amaltara was not helpful. Disnan, how do I know that the Heichal in fact had an Amaltara? So we know this from a Mishnah in Masechta Midos, right? We're always going back to Masechta Midos. And it says, Chamesh Amaltaros Shel Mela. Mela is a kind of a tree, a kind of a wood. He says it comes from an Alon. If I didn't get a chance to look this up, but I think Alon is an oak tree, okay, if I'm not mistaken. You can look that up.
No.
He has another word to describe this is called afotzim, and the alon tree is something that's very valuable because of many reasons, but one of which is because the alon tree has a certain sap, a sap which is called afotzim, that's used to make dyo, it's used to make ink, and the eitz, this tree, is called in the singular mila, in plural it's called milin, and the Mishnah tells us in Masechta Midos that Chamesh Amaltaros Shel Mela, which was made of the eights called Mela, Hayu Al Gabav. Now we're talking about the Pesach HaUlam, and it says Zola Maila Mizu, and one was on top of the other. Now the assumption of the Gemara is, again, this is an issue in the Mefarshim here, but the assumption of the Gemara apparently is that just like the Ulam had on top of it Amaltaros, layer by layer, five different layers, I think we have a picture of it somewhere. We'll see if we find that picture. So too, the Heichal also had a Malteros. Do me a favor, if you don't mind, Usher, see if there's a picture. I know I saw a picture. Maybe it was in this book. Okay, yeah, you just followed the page. It's just a Gimel. Oh, beautiful. Take a look at Mitch. See if you find it in color. Mitch has it in black and white. You see that? I think somebody told me that you could see that actually today in the what's called the Shar Chulda. Have you ever visited the Shar Chulda? Yeah. Does that look familiar to you?
It looks like a Roman column also.
Yeah. It looks a little like a Roman column. Yeah. There it is here. Yeah, excellent. Yeah. Excellent. So here you can see it in color.
Yeah. See, there it looks as if it's on a column. Here you can see it's more like over a door.
It was built into them.
Do me a favor, Don, if you can. Next time you're at Shar Chulda.
No, I have pictures after.
So what I want you to do, this is just Beinenu, is I want you to measure the distance between each line. I'll tell you why. Because, there's a gigantic debate about what the shear of an amma is.
Okay.
I don't want to get into it, but it's a real fight. It's 22 inches, 24. I mean, it goes back and forth. So I think that we can find out if this is the original shire from 2,000 years ago, exactly how tall an amma is. Anyway, let's get back to our sugya. So in any event, the Gemara proves...
What's each
one is an...
Each bar is an amma?
It's got to be a space...
We'll get to that soon, but I'm just telling you, we'll be able to finally determine how... Okay, fine. So now, the Makshan is asking the question, based on the Mishnah in what you call it, in Midos. So the Gemara now sort of interjects in the middle of the Kasha. We didn't even get a chance to finish the Kasha. And the Gemara says, "Hi, my Tuvta. Are you asking me a Kasha from the Mishnah in Midos? Dilma, ki Tanya. Tanya here doesn't mean a Brisa. Tanya means when it was taught, meaning when the Mishnah was taught, formulated. Hahi, the Amalteros, the Ulam Tanya. Maybe that's only referring to the Pesach HaUlam. How do you know that even the Pesach HaOl had Amalteros? So the Gemara answers, Vahai my Kusha. Is that a question that you're asking me? You're asking a question on my question, right? My question was based on the premise that the Ulam also had a Malteros, that the Pesach HaHechel also had a Malteros. So you're asking a question, maybe only the Pesach HaUlam had a Malteros. That's not a question. Dilma, Tavnis HaHechel ki Tavnis Ulam. Now again, the Gemara used the word Dilma, which is a little bit of a problem for us, but the pshat here is, leaving out the word Dilma for a second, that we have a Kabbalah, we have a tradition that Tavnis HaHechel ki Tavnis HaUlam, that the outside structure, the architectural structure of the Heichal was a mirror image of the architectural structure of the Ulam. And he writes here in the... In the Rashba, the Ritva and the Rashba, that just to read it to you, he says, "Mekubal biyadenu shetavnis haheichal haisa shavel etavnis haulam." So we know that if the ulam had on the top of the Pesach these amalteros, then the same is true for the Pesach of the Heichal. Now we get back to our question. Our kasha is going to again be an objection of Rav, because Rav insists that the Pesach of the Mavui is derived from the Pesach of the Heichal. And we said that with regard to the Pesach of the Mavui, as we'll soon see, if it has an Amaltara, then we don't care about the Gova of Esrim. Alama Amar Rabbi Eloi Amar Rav. Why is it that Rabbi Eloi says in the name of Rav that there are two halachos with regard to the Korah? We'll come back to the first halach in just a second. Just for pedagogical reasons, I'm going to skip the first halach because I want to get to the punchline here. And the second halach of Rav was in Yeshla Maltara, if the Korah has this beautiful, beautiful design, then Afilu Gavoy Yosem Yasser Mama Einu Tzorch Lemait. And now we're really in trouble, because how could Rav say that the Amal Torah sort of circumvents the problem of Esr Mama Begova, meaning that if it's more than Esr Mama, it's okay, even though normally it's not okay because it has an Amal Torah on top. How could that be so when the Pesach HaOel, as we've proven, like the Tavnis of the Ulam, has an Amal Torah, and yet it was limited in Gova to Esr Mama? But let's just backtrack just to get the first halacha of Rav. And Rav says the following. Okay, you see where it says Afal Pisha Eina Bria? Do you see those words? Okay. Now these words, Afal Pisha Eina Bria, they come from a Mishnah later on Daf Yud Gimel Amud Beis. The Mishnah later on tells us that you cannot put a Korah that's weak, W-E-A-K, but rather you need a strong Korah, Chazaka. And what? How do you test, you know, what's your, how do you test the Korah to make sure that it's Chazak? Then if you put an Ariach is a brick, and if you'd lay the brick down on top of the Korah would still remain, you know, it would not collapse. Are you with me so far, Rabosai? Mm-hmm. And comes along Rav and he says, you know what? I have a scenario where Afal Pisha Eina Bria. It's a very weak beam. If you put this Levena, this Ariach, on top of the beam, it would crack in half from the weight of the brick. Nevertheless, it's still Kshera for Korah. I mean, until you crack it. But let's not crack it. And why is that? Because it's Rechava Arba. Do you see that? Do you see those two words? Rechav Arba. Now, the width of a Korah is a Mashahu. Mashahu means that there's no minimum dimension as far as a Korah is concerned. As long as the Korah stretches over the top of the Mavui from one coastal of the Mavui to the other coastal of the Mavui, it's valid. But the Mishnah says it's got to be Bria. Bria means it's got to be Chazaka. It's got to be so strong that it can tolerate the weight of this Levena, of this Sariah. Comes along Rav, and he says that's because you're dealing with a Korah that is very thin in its width, which is fine. Then you have to have a very strong Korah, and it's going to be very difficult to get it that strong. But if you have a Korah that has the width of 4 tefachim, so let's say a tefach would be, I don't know, 4 inches, 6 inches, I don't know, again, you can have gigantic machlokes about the width of a tefach. Well, let's say a tefach is a half a foot, is 6 inches, so if you multiply that by 4, so you get 2 feet, so it's a very significant size in the Korah, then we don't care about how strong the Korah is. We don't have to go into detail and try to test it out and see could it tolerate the weight of this Levena. But that's a halacha that we'll reserve for our discussion when we get to Mirza Shem to Daf Yud Gimel. What's relevant to us here on Daf Gimel is the second halacha of Rav, that the width, that the height of Esrim Amah, that maximum height requirement is lifted, and we could go beyond Esrim Amah in the case of an Amal Torah, if the Pesach HaMovi has an Amal Torah. So you make this beautiful design on top, and it's fine. And as we said before, the logic of it is because in the case of a Heichal, we want to set aside the Mavui as something unique and has its own identity. This is a Mavui, which I never understood why they didn't just put up a sign, this is a Mavui, but instead of that they said, just put up a Korah, and the Korah itself is so obvious, like what's this Korah doing here on top of the Mavui? It means that's a message that this is a Mavui. Well, even if it's above Esr Mama, and you're telling me that people don't usually see what's above Esr Mama in this case, that it's an Amalter, it's so flashy, it will serve your function even above Esr Mama. But what are you going to do with the Heichal? The Heichal had an Amalter, and yet we reduced its size, limited its size to Esr Mama, not beyond. Omer Rav Yosef, Rav Yosef comes to defend Rav, and he says, there's no stira to Rav. Why? Because Amaltera Masnisahi. This din that we quoted in the name of Rav, that an Amaltera is meaningful for a Pesach Movi, even if it's above Esrim Amo, that's not Rav. I mean, it is Rav, but Rav didn't say it on his own. You know, he wasn't Mechadish Chidushim here, but it must Nisa here. It's a Braisa. So don't ask kashas on Rav. It could be that Rav himself would hold that an Amaltara would not be a mitigating circumstances if the height was above Esrim Amah. Just like we said before, that according to Rav Shita, in the case of a Tzuras HaPesach, a Tzuras HaPesach is not a mitigating, not a saving factor if the width is beyond 10 amos, so to an amalter, according to Rav, would not be a saving factor if the height of the mavui was above 20 amos. And the reason for that is because of Heichal, of the Pesach Heichal. Rav said, are you following what's going on over here? You know, there are two ways of approaching the whole sugya of mavui with all its different dinim of the limiting height and the limiting width. There are two ways of approaching that. One way of approaching it is that we're operating midini heker. You know, what would accomplish our goal? And the other way of approaching it is that we're learning it from Pesach HaEichal. And if we're learning it from Pesach HaEichal, then don't give me any svaras, ahin and aher. You know, this is the rule. You know, and here's Rav Shita. Rav Shita is that we are going to derive Pesach Mavui from Pesach HaEichal. And just like in HaEichal, Amaltara was not a mitigating circumstance, meaning the Gova of the Pesach HaEichel had to be limited to, but not beyond 20 amos, so too in Mavli. You'll ask me a kasha, but the whole logic of making a korah on top of your Mavli so that we'll see it even in the case of Amalto. Okay, Rav doesn't have the flexibility to apply that logic because he's limited, he's straitjacketed by what? By the Pesach HaEichel. So man ketani lo. So who is the author of this braisa that says that, and Rav was quoting that braisa when he said that Yoser Mi'esr Mama, if it has an Amaltara, Eino Tzarch L'mayit, that Amaltara is a mitigating circumstance in Korah for a Tikkun Mavui. Amrabaye, I'm going to read it with the girsa that I have down on the bottom here, Ha Rabbi Chama. You have to add the word Rebbe Chama. It was not nice to call him by his first name. Rebbe Chama Berei de Rabba Baravua Ketani Le. Now the reason why the Gemara is so emphatic about asking who is the one who brought this price, a lot of the brisos got lost or got what's called mishubash. There were mistakes in the copying of the. You see, the Mishnah was to a large extent, you know, holy of holies, and it was very the Masorah, the tradition was very meticulous about the language of the Mishnah, but the Braisos, which unfortunately were left out of the Mishnah, there was a lot of tampering. You know, everybody would change, you know, get his quill out and make a cross out and change the language of the Braisa to fit his logic. So it's very important from the Gemara's perspective to figure out who brought the braisa. Is it a bar samcha? Is it somebody that we can rely on? So the Gemara is telling us that yes, Abai is telling us that yes, we can rely on this braisa. It's not one of those fly-by-night braisas, which is called a mishuveshes. This is a bona fide, reliable braisa, and it was brought to us, to our attention, by Rabbi Chama. So that Rav now is against Rabbi Chama in the braisa, but that's fine. You know, Rav himself was very much aware of this braisa, but he didn't accept the opinion of the braisa. The braisa is operating without the equation to Pesach HaHeichal. Rav is working within the context of the equation to Pesach HaHeichal. So the Gemara now is a little bit upset about the following. If this braisa, as Abai proved, is a reliable braisa because it was Rabbi Chama's braisa, then it's a bit of a chutzpah, so to speak, I mean, that's just Berzon's word, for Rav to disagree with a braisa. You know, a braisa, if it's a reliable braisa, is almost like a Mishnah. So the Gemara asks the following, V'tehevi amaltara masnisa. In other words, now that we saw that amaltara, according to this braisa, is a mitigating circumstance, and, you know, you don't have to have esrim ama, and not above esrim ama, that psul does not apply to a korah if it's an amaltara. So that's masnisa. That's already codified in this braisa. So v'tikshe l'rav. In other words, it's not really fair ground for Rav to contradict a Braisa. If the Braisa holds that a Maltara is meaningful to be machshir, to be metaken a mavui with a korah that's above esrim amo, then apparently the Chachamim did not derive the shir of Pesach mavui from Pesach ha'ohel. So, and that undermines the entire sheet of Rav. So now the Gemara wants to defend Rav. Omer l'cha Rav, here's what Rav could tell you. Dal anomi hacha. Take me out of the picture. That's what dal means, to remove. Anomi mi hacha, from here. In other words, I would never have said that the Chachamim derive Pesach ha-movui from Pesach ha-hechal. That wasn't my own... You know, it wasn't like, you know, I went to sleep at night and I had this dream that all of a sudden occurred to me, you know what, let's make this equation between Pesach ha-hechal and Pesach ha-movui. That's not what happened. But rather, we have a Braisa. There's a Braisa itself, which we mentioned back on Daf Beis Amud Beis. I'll repeat the Braisa in just a second. Is Masnisa Milo Kashin Adodi. You know, instead of attacking me, why don't you attack two Braisas? I'm not the one who came up with this insight that the Chachamim are based on an equation between Pesach Mavui and Pesach Hechal. It's in a Braisa. And again, now I'll quote to you the Braisa back on Daf Beis Amud Beis. Anyone who wants to look it up, you'll see it there. And it says, quote, Mavui shu gavoa mi esrim amo, yoseh mi pischo shel hechal yemait. That if the height of the Mavui is above esrim amo, then it's yoseh mi pischo shel hechal. And that's why you might. The Braisa clearly points to the reason, the source, or the root of the psul of Lamala Miasramama, because it's higher than the Pesach Shel Ohel. Now you have another Braisa that says that if you have an Amaltara, then it's okay if it's above 20 Amma. So you have now a steer between two Braises. Don't attack me personally. Rav gets very sensitive. It's like a personal attack here. Well, I didn't come up with this equation between Mavui and Hechal. It's in the Brais itself. The Brais itself says that if above Esravam, it's Yeser mi Pischo Shel Hechal. And therefore you might. Don't blame me for that. Ela mai Islam Loch Lameh. You have no choice in this situation. Tanoihi. You're going to have to assume that there are two shitos, two versions amongst the Tanoim as to what the Chachamim meant when they invalidated a Mavui that has a Korah that's above 20 Amah. And one shita is that they derived it from the Pesach HaHechal. But L'didi Nami Tanoihi, I also would agree that there's a Machlokas Tanoim. And I just mentioned the Sheet of the Chachamim as it was codified in the Braisa. And according to that transmission, the Chacham were based on an equation between Mavui and Hechal. The Pesach of Mavui has to be the same as the Pesach of the Hechal. And therefore I came to the following conclusions. Number one, that it can't be higher than Esrim Amo, like the Pesach HaHechal. Number two, it can't be wider than Esrim Amo, like the Pesach HaHechal. Number three, Tzuras HaPesach is not going to help you if it's wider than 10 Amo. Number four, an Amalta is not going to help you if it's above 20 Amo in height. And that's because I went with this price. So that's this Tana, and that's the transmission of this price. I have another price with a different transmission. Okay, Machlokas Tanoim, according to those Tanoim, you have different criterion, and Amalta is going to be fine even though the Pesach HaMavui is above 20 Amma. So again, Rav stands on the fact that there is a contradiction between two Braisos, and that's how he's going to justify all his conclusions. All the dinim that we mentioned, I mentioned four of them, that we established with regard to the Pesach HaMavui, are all derived from that shita in the Tanoim, which Rav claims is a major shita, that we are basing our definition halachically of a Pesach HaMavui on an equation to Pesach HaHechal. All this is pre-Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak. Now we get to post-Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak. Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak is a generation after Rav. And he is going to change our perspective. And he says the following. Below Rav, if not for the fact that Rav himself came up with this reading, this very particular diuk, in the reading of the first price that the Chachamim derived the halacha of Pesach Movi from Pesach Oel, Masnisan Adodi Lo Kashin, if not for Rav, I would have no problem reconciling these two prices. There's no contradiction. Why? We could say that L'Rabbanon Korah Taima Mai, the Chachamim held, where did they come up with this limitation of 20 Amma, where Rabbi Yehuda allowed you to have a Mavli, the entrance of which is face 40, 50 Amma high, is they came up with the Svara. They didn't derive it from the Heichel. Again, you know, the problem is, how is Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak going to square with the Brisa? The Brisa says that the reason why, if it's above Esther Mama and Gova, it's possible is because it's Yeser Mipischol Shel Heichel. Apparently they do derive from Heichel. No, they don't derive anything from Heichel. It's Mishum Ekeira. The whole business about Esther Mama and all the laws of Tikkun, a Mavui and a Pesach, and what that Pesach is and what it's done, it's all based on Ekeira. It's all based on the fact, the Svara, that Chachamim wanted a Heker. They were not trying to fit a, what's it called, a peg into, what's square the peg? A square peg in a round hole. It's that's not what it's all about. They weren't trying to fit into your paradigmic conceptual definition of what a Pesach is. Forget about all that. You can come up with your definition of what a Pesach is in all of Tanakh, in all of Heichel, in all of Ulam, and it's irrelevant. There's only one thing that bothers the Chacham, and that's what they're concerned about. They want to make sure that this Heker, which is in the Korah, is Yiru B'nei Adam Es HaKorah, that people will see the Korah. That's all it's about. It's not about your abstract definition of what constitutes a Pesach. And therefore they held that up till Esrim Amma, it's Nikar, this Hekera. Those who walk by will see the Korah almost by passing by. It's like staring you in the face. It's less than an Esrim Amma high. Now, therefore, says Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, we understand very well the other brisa that says that in the case of an Amalter, I don't mind if it's above a height of Esrim Amma, more than Esrim Amma, because it's Mosheches Es Ayin. It will draw the eye, draw the attention of your eye, and therefore the Korah is successful and valid even above Esrim Amma. Oh, but now Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak has to face the music. What are we going to do with the Brisa? The Brisa, which Rav built his whole sheet on, this Brisa, says, yes, Yesem Yipischo Shel Heichal. That if it's above 40 Amma, it's higher than the Pesach Liyah Heichal. You see that clearly this Brisa, this Tana, is limiting your dimensions and the requirements of a Pesach Mavui by Pesach Shel Heichal. Zok to Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak. Hi, Diktoni, when it says Yeser Mipischo Shel Heichal L'simona B'alma. Wow, this is a little bit anticlimactic. I mean, we've been working for, I don't know, what is it, 4 days now, under the assumption that your definition of Pesach Shel Mavui is derived from, it's a baby that was born to the Pesach Shel Heichal. Pesach Shel Heichal is your paradigmic case. Nay, whenever the Brisa mentions Pesach Shel Heichal, it's just giving you a simon bi'alma. It's a way of sort of remembering, you know, that you shouldn't make a mistake and think that a Korah could be above Esrim Amma in the case of a Mavui. You know, it could be 30 Amma, 40 Amma high. So the Brisa says, well, keep in mind that the Pesach Shel Heichal was Esrim Amma. Not that I'm deriving Pesach Shel Mavui from Pesach Shel Heichal. This is just a mnemonic device. This is just a way of reminding you, remembering, hey buddy, don't be such a big shot and put your Korah above Esrim Amma. The Pesach Shel Heichal only went up to Esrim Amma. So the shear of Govav Mavui is similar to the shear Govav Pesach Oel, meaning it's Esrim Amma. But it doesn't mean that the laws are restricted and limited by the Pesach Shel Heichal. We're not deriving Pesach Shel Mavui from Pesach Shel Heichal. Pesach Shel Mavui has its own independent mechanism, which is called Heker. And whenever it's a Heker, then it's good enough. Now, I'm not sure what Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchok would have to say about Tzuras HaPesach, our previous discussion, in a case where the Pesach of the Mavui is wider than Eser Amah, would Tzuras HaPesach be valid? I'm tempted to think that despite the fact that in Heichal, Tzuras HaPesach was not a mitigating circumstance, so we still were limited by the width of Eser Amah, in the case of Mavui, it could be that Tzuras HaPesach is enough. Right? Because you're looking at this Pesach of the Ulam, and it looks like a piritza. Who remembers that word piritza that we mentioned on Sunday? Right? It looks like, you know, the Rishus HaRabim is just spilling over, you know, into this wide area that's more than Eser Amah's wide. Yeah, but once you see a Tzuras HaPesach, you know, that's like a whole structure. Maybe that's enough of a hecker. I don't know. But why do I push for this? What's my agenda? Because the Mishnah says that in the case of Tzuras HaPesach, you don't need to be Mamayik. Now, Rav had a different gears than the Mishnah. But perhaps Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchok is the one who is coming to save our Girsa and protect, or shall I say, defend our text that if it's wider than Eser Amah, Tzuras HaPesach will be a factor. Tzuras HaPesach will give me the heker that this is not a piritza. You know, if it's just a piritza, why would you put up a Tzuras HaPesach? Meaning, you know, we're going to learn, as we learn more and more about Rishus HaRavim, whether it's in Masechet Shabbos or Masechet Erev, we're going to learn more and more about the fact that the Ravim go down these roads, these pathways, these highways, and they expand. You know, like, for example, on a crowded day in the market, we're going to learn about the fact that people push into what's called Tzidei Rishus HaRavim. We're going to have something called the Simta. We're going to have all sorts of things where Ravim Darsim Bo. And if we view this Mavui as kind of like an extension of Rishus HaRavim, then we won't accomplish our goal. Our goal is to make the Mavui into Rishus HaYochid. But the answer is, if it's got a Tzuras HaPesach, because the Rabbin pushed themselves into the Mavui, therefore that, so we're going to build this whole structure, you know, with a two posts and a crossbar? Man, that's ridiculous. So maybe, again, this is just Berzon talking. I'm going to try to see if I can find someone who says this. Maybe according to Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchok, if the whole enterprise of Mavui and how to be Mitakin of Mavui is based on Heker, maybe Tzuras HaPesach is a very prominent, profound Heker that can work even if there's a very open, wide area in the Pesach HaMavui. I have vested interest in doing so because I want to salvage the Girsa of our mission as we have it, that Tzuras HaPesach is a mitigating circumstance even if the width is more than Eser Amos. Now we have to end in about 3 minutes. So I want to give you just a 3-minute introduction to the next sugya. Because the next sugya is really a hemshech of our sugya. Why? Because the same identical machlokes that we have codified in our Mishnah between the Chachamim and Rabbi Yehuda applies to a sukkah. So tomorrow, Yitzhak Hashem, we'll be learning a little bit of the laws of sukkah. And the same machlokas applies. What happens if the schach of your sukkah is above Esrim Amah? Now, if we're going to operate with our Mishnah in Mavui, with Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchok, meaning Heker, that the ganze business about the height of the Korah, in the case of a Pesach HaMavui, it all revolves around one concept called Heker, then it could be that same concept will apply to Sukkah. Why? Because the Pasuk says, L'man Yedu Doros Seicha. In other words, we want to see the Schach. Why? Because we want to remind ourselves that God, that Schach is Kenegah the Anani HaKovid L'mazogin, right? Sukkah's Mamish Anani HaKovid. But it's meant to remind us of the great miracle when we left Mitzrayim, we went into the desert. Well, guess what? If you don't see the Schach, it's too high up. It's not going to remind you of anything. So that the Chachamim in Sukkah are just reiterating what we have here in the Mishnah in Erevin. Just like in Erevin, according to Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchok's interpretation, we're not dealing with Heichal. Forget about Heichal. We're dealing with Heker. Both of those words have four letters and start with a hey. But cross out the Yud Chaf Lamed and instead put in Yud Chaf Resh. Okay, so it's not Heichal, but it's Heker. Right. And if we're dealing with Heker, well, guess what? Above Eser Mam, it's not a Heker. People, Lo Shalta Be'ena, they don't see. You know, they can strain their neck, but they don't see. Same thing as L'man Yedu Dor Seicha. Rabbi Yehuda, on the other hand, holds, I'm not impressed by this. He thinks that even if it's higher, I could see it. I don't normally see it, but I could strain myself and I could see it above Esrei Ma'am. So basically, the Mishnah in Sukkah, which rewrites, so to speak, our machlokas here at Erevin, in our Mishnah between the Chachamim and Rabbi Yehuda, is basically a repeat performance. In other words, you want to know how high is high and how high is too high, as far as Heker is concerned. That could be relevant to a whole slew of halachas, nonetheless of which is the Heker of a Mavui in the case of a Korah, or the Heker of the Sukkah in the case of Laman Yehudu Dor Sechem, where the Schach is too high. Will I see it, will I not see it? And the Gemara is so convinced of the equation, the analogy between Mavui and Sukkah, that the Gemara asks the Kasha, why did Rabbi Yehuda Anasi bother with the Mishnah in Sukkah? We could have figured it out on our own, just by learning this Mishnah at the beginning of Masechet Erevin. So that's an introduction to the next sugya here on Daf Gimel Amud Aleph, and I'll wish everyone a great day. Thank you so much. So if anyone's interested, we're still hanging into Brachos a little bit, Masechet Brachos, about to make the transition to Masechet Shabbos for the Iyun Shir, so you know, you could join me for a little bit of Iyun in Masechet Brachos, maybe Masechet Shabbos, we'll see. Yeah.